to having a large wooden thing that I can hide behind. It's all right, I can cope. I'm on top of things. I am someone who listens to Christmas music throughout the year. I'm also someone who would be quite happy to have a Christmas service every Sunday. Anthea's not here, so I think I can take her name in vain. She hasn't sneaked back, has she? No. An extraordinarily short notice. She asked if I could speak both today and Christmas morning. And she said, look, just split the thing you're doing in two. Do half on the Sunday, half on the Wednesday. So that is exactly what I'm doing. It does mean that all of you today may well feel extremely shortchanged. And here's fault. Part two will be Wednesday at 10:30 here. Probably not as good as the presents, certainly not as good as Christmas dinner, but almost certainly better than the Queen's speech. 10:30, Wednesday morning. Now, the title. We will get back to the title in the end. But first of all, next slide, please, Dan. Go back one. That's the one. Yeah. Several years ago, I really don't remember exactly how many. I was on a trip back from India, I think. I went for a trip up Scarfell Pike with Joshua and Lydia. I really don't remember how big Joshua and Lydia were. My memory is that they were extraordinarily small. I was thinking as I was looking at the front, sort of possibly star size and king size. But I may be wrong on that. We were coming down a route that I knew very, very well, called the Corridor Route, for those of you who are familiar with it. And then the cloud came down. Very, very thick cloud. I was looking for a picture on the internet. That is exactly how I remember it. The corridor route is a fairly thin path. At some point, and I don't think I've told Joshua and Lydia this, I was conscious that we were no longer on the path. We carried on for about half an hour and bumped into a wide path, which greatly encouraged me. We headed along wide path for about 10 minutes and started to get extremely windy and very cold. And I had no idea what path we were on, but what I did know, it was definitely not the right path. It was not a path I'd ever walked on in my life, in fact. So I decided to turn round, and for about 10 minutes, we went back up that track and walked into a large stretcher box. I recognised it, and now I knew where I was. But I still had no idea which direction I was facing in. There were paths everywhere, paths heading in every direction. And I had no idea which was the right one. I was very, very confused, had already got it wrong once. I could not choose to stay where I was. I could not choose to make no decision. But the consequences of making the wrong decision could be very serious. I had no compass, I had no mobile phone, and I wasn't at all sure how much Joshua and Lydia had left in reserve. What to do? Well, sadly, we've no time to tell the end of that story today. Feel free to come on Tuesday morning if you're interested. I keep saying that. Don't come on Tuesday. Don't give them any presents on Tuesday either. That would be a mistake. In many senses, the world is a dark place in need of light. I just want to consider one of the consequences of darkness today. And that is the confusion that it creates. Three big questions, three questions that matter, three questions about which there is much confusion in the world, three questions whose answers will have a very big impact on which path we choose to take through life. Next slide. Number one, who made everything? Top left is a picture of everything. It's the whole universe. Well, everything that we have caught sight of so far. On the top right, you have a man called Felix Baumgartner, who some of you may well recognize. He is looking down at the earth just before he decides, I think I'll jump. Bottom right, you have the whole earth. If you head to the top right of the earth, the picture of it, you can just about see Europe and Great Britain. Look very, very carefully, and you can see a rain cloud. Underneath the rain cloud is Carlisle, which proves that it is an accurate map. But who made it all? Who made the universe? Who made our home? Who made the earth? Well, there is disagreement and confusion. The two big contenders out there are either that one, somebody made it, or two, nobody made it. What there is agreement on is that both the universe as a whole and the earth in particular are very well made. If you change either of them a tiny bit, then you would have very big problems. In particular, life could not exist. Bottom left, you have a photo of me as a baby. No, you don't. I am lying, sorry. Absolutely no baby has a right to be that cute, and to the very best of my knowledge, I certainly was not. Who made the universe? Who made the earth? Who made me? Who made you? Now, your parents' role was not insignificant, but who designed you? Two arms, two legs, eyes, nose, heart, feeling, the capacity to worry, the capacity to laugh, to cry, to love. Who made you? Again, there are two main possibilities. Either one, nobody did. A series of random mutations and a very long period of time created you. That is evolution. Or two, somebody did. Somebody designed you. Somebody made you. What everybody agrees on is that you are very well made. You are extraordinarily well made. So question one is, who made everything? Next slide. Question number two is, if somebody made everything, who is this somebody? What is he like? There is lots of confusion over this. Those are pictures of three possibilities which are out there in the world. Maybe there is a God, and maybe he is a very angry God. Quick to lose his temper, quick to lose patience, quick to punish. Or maybe there is a God, and he's just not interested in us. He has other things which take up his time and thoughts. He is not bothered about us. Bottom right, you have a picture of a god, the god of Truman Burbank. You have to have seen the Truman Show to recognize him. If you have, then you will know that this god is not good. So maybe God is not good. Maybe he is bad. And maybe he just manipulates for his own ends. Or maybe none of these three pictures of God is accurate. Maybe he is very different from all three. Last question. Next slide. I know that one day I will die. But what will happen after that? Top left, shortly after that photo, there was a splash of water. Was that the end of the story? Or, if there is a God, if he made the universe, if he made the earth, if he designed and made me, if he cares about me, is there another possibility? But how could we know? Who has the knowledge and the authority to answer that question? Who could possibly bring light into the darkness and confusion that exists in the world? Wouldn't it be extraordinary if God himself chose to come to the earth to answer all of those questions himself in person? That would be so cool. That would be so amazing. That would be the most significant event in the whole of human history. Wednesday morning, 10:30, part 2.
Thank you, Howard. Shall we sing and just stand and sing another carol, Joy to the World?